Next on BYUSN, hello, top 25. BYU football at number 23 in the preseason coaches poll. Where do we think they'll end up in the AP poll? BYU Athletic Director Brian Santiago joins the program to discuss the direction of BYU athletics, where the demand has never been higher.
BYU women's soccer captain Ellie Walbrook joins the show to talk about coming back from her injury and what's possible for this year's team. Plus, BYU men's hoops continues stacking wins during the offseason.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, August 5th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who has evolved quite a bit since the great decade of the 80s. He is Jason Shepherd.
The greatest decade of all, by the way, the 1980s. We have all evolved. There are very few things that have not evolved. One of those things just happens to be a certain NFL team's helmet design.
Okay.
We're talking about the New York Giants. And why are we talking about this? Because John Gruden was talking about it, and there's a BYU twist. Check this out.
I don't know how to open this either. This seems like a helmet.
Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah.
Is this not tradition? They're not jazzing up their helmet. It's been like this forever, since Bart Oates came out there with Jumbo Elliott at left tackle.
What a great name, too, Jumbo.
I love John Gruden's general enthusiasm about football and life. I love that Bart Oates gets down in the center position. And I love that Giants helmet, by the way. They went with the NY for a while, but bringing back that just classic Giants logo, Bill Parcells, Super Bowl champions in the early 90s. Yeah.
The New York football Giants.
Absolutely. I love the Bart Oates reference.
Yeah.
It's the proper way to start this show, Jason.
Absolutely.
Man. On that note, BYU has a big-time basketball signing again as well. So ample reasons to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
This could be a huge year.
I love that schedule to break in a new quarterback. BYU should be ranked higher, even with the quarterback questions.
And with that, and the rankings on the mind, we welcome you to a loaded edition of What's Trending. Yesterday, the USA Today coaches poll was unveiled for all of the nation to see. And to many of our surprise, BYU showed up in the top 25 at number 23. I think we heard the overwhelming national rhetoric of BYU losing their starting quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, late in the game, thus bumping BYU out of a top 25 position. But apparently, the USA Today coaches poll did not get the memo, at least not all the way, Jason, because BYU is in. Straight up, does BYU deserve a top 25 preseason ranking in college football?
Yeah, and I'm glad to see that the coaches poll at least recognizes that, because the word you use, the rhetoric, it's real. Ever since the quarterback change, and once everybody knew BYU was going to be starting a new quarterback, look, and I understand why people are talking the way they are. It's the most important position on a football team. It's the most important position in sports, probably. And so the fact that BYU had a starting quarterback that started as many games as Retzlaff did last year and led them to the record that they did, the fact that he's not there and you're starting guys who have never started at BYU, I can understand wanting to drop BYU down from what you originally thought. But look, I looked at this. If Retzlaff was still the quarterback of BYU, I viewed them easily as a top 15 team.
Yeah, I thought at worst, like, maybe 16 to 18.
See, I thought maybe they could get as high as, like, 12. I thought they could get in that range. So when you then take into account that they are going to be starting a new quarterback, and there is a lot of unknowns with that, I figured they would drop, but I did not feel that with the rest of the team around the quarterback that they should drop out of the top 25, especially with that amount of production coming back. So if I'm going off, let's just the conservative route at 15, if I thought they were going to be right at 15, the fact that they're dropping eight spots, that seems fair to me, according to the coaches poll. Now, the AP poll when that comes out may be a completely different story. We'll get to that in a minute. But yes, I do believe that they deserve to be ranked in the top 25.
A few caveats about the coaches poll. If you are not aware, some of the coaches don't really care a lot about casting that ballot. And I don't think that that's because they're bad coaches or they're not attentive to college football. They just have better things to do with their time, Jason.
Yeah.
They have better time than to worry about where should I put each of these teams in my preseason coaches poll. So they delegate that responsibility to other members of their staff.
Right.
We jokingly call it the Sports Information Director's poll. I don't know what Kalani Sitake does with it. I don't know what any coach specifically does with it. Haven't talked with them at length about it, nor do I really care to talk with them about it at length when it comes to this preseason coaches poll. But I have heard over my years covering this sport that sometimes the actual games and preparation for the season, especially during training camp, just matters more than, what should I do about numbers 21 to 25? Gosh. So I believe that while the media clearly knows about Jake Retzlaff's departure, maybe some of the coaches or the staff personnel that are casting these ballots in the coaches' poll aren't as keen on the details of such. And just remember BYU lambasting Colorado in the Alamo Bowl and going 11-2 and being in the college football playoff conversation for much of last year.
Or, Spencer, are they so much in the know and have connections with BYU that they've got the inside track on just how good this team is going to be?
It could be.
Look.
It could happen.
Look, it's another thought. It's another way to think of it. I'm just saying.
So I enjoyed when I was pleasantly surprised that BYU showed up at number 23 in any poll, in this specifically coaches poll. I do think BYU's defense and coaching staff and weapons all around are good enough to give them consideration for a top 25 ranking. Do they deserve to be in? I don't know. But they're right there. Like, I feel like BYU is deserving of receiving votes. How about that?
Yes. Yeah, no, look, I go back to the fact that I understand the thought process in dropping BYU down with the change at quarterback.
Yes, how many spots is that worth?
Exactly. That's what this whole argument boils down to, is how many spots, and I guess it starts with where you would have had them had there been no change at the quarterback. That question has to be answered first. And each individual is going to be able to answer that for themselves. Like, okay, well, I would have had him here, had BYU here. Now with the change at quarterback, to me, that's going to be worth X amount of spots dropped.
Yeah.
So for me, again, conservatively, I had 15 because I thought they would absolutely be a top 15 team. I thought they could get as high as 12, get close to being a top 10 team in the preseason because of all the hype and what they did last year and so much production coming back. Then you take into account the fact that you are starting a new quarterback. To me, I don't have an issue dropping them. I understand dropping them.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that you should drop them far enough that it puts them out of the top 25.
Okay, we just showed a list of some notable preseason publications. And we should note that when it comes to Lindy's and Athlon Sports preseason marks, those were published before Jake Retzlaff was officially out of the program. Lindy's had BYU at number 21. Athlon, even with Retzlaff in play, had BYU at number 30.
See, and that's ridiculous to me.
Now, the coaches poll, obviously, is post Jake Retzlaff departure. It happened yesterday, BYU at number 23. Wow, CBS Sports this morning. Tom Fornelli and others involved in this released their 1 through 136. They rank all 136 Division I college football teams at the FBS level, BYU at number 36. I believe that is absolutely fair. It's in the receiving votes category. There are question marks about quarterback, but BYU is still good enough that if they win one or two games in the preseason, they're probably in the top 25 AP poll.
So did you say Athlon's was with the change or was prior to?
It was prior. They were 21 with Retzlaff in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's you have to answer where you would have had them before. And then, in your opinion, how many spots does that drop them? Again, for me, and look, maybe, look, we got the blue goggles over here on the set. Maybe I need to go, maybe I need to put them on, but I would have had them top 15. And even if you're dropping, say 15, if you're dropping them 10, you're still
25.
You're still top 25. Okay. I still believe this team deserves that.
I believe that BYU is somewhere in the 25 to 35 category. Like that's the range that I would put them in right now. If I were voting in the AP poll, I would look at where all the teams shake out. And I know the preseason polls don't really matter that much other than creating context for those early season games to make people want to watch, right? It's like, oh, it's exciting. It's a top 25 matchup to kick off the season. We don't know. I talked to Matt Barry at Big 12 Media Days, and he's like, can we just be done with that? Can we have our first ranking like 6 weeks into the season so that we actually know what these teams are? I like that logic, but we are selling a product.
Yeah.
And we are trying to get people to engage, and marketers are involved, and there's a ton of, I mean, billions of dollars of advertising here. They need to create context and excitement, so that is why they have these preseason top 25 rankings, to drive the market to watch these games.
So you said that your range would be 25 to 35.
Yes.
Okay, so we expect the AP poll to come out on Monday. Mm-hmm. Where do you believe BYU, where do you think those that vote in the AP poll, where do you believe they will have BYU?
Yeah, 8 to 10 spots out. Receiving votes, mm-hmm. but 8 to 10 spots out. I think that there are enough media voters that have common ground in what BYU can do as a team, mm-hmm. not just one position, even though it is the most important position in football, quarterback. Literally on offense, you touch the ball on every snap, unless there's some gimmick play. But there is enough understanding and even-keeled members of the media that know what BYU is as a complete team, with special teams, which should be great again, defense, which we expect to be very solid, and then, yeah, weapons on offense and an untested quarterback. But I think that's good enough for 8 to 10 spots out of the top 25 receiving votes. In position, as I mentioned earlier, Jason, that if you win a couple of games in non-conference, BYU comes out, they handle Portland State, they win by 30-plus. And then they go after Stanford, and they take care of business against the Cardinal, and they win, I don't know, 35-13 or whatever. It's a 20-plus point win. Then they're in the AP top 25 before they go to East Carolina after a bye week, and they're ranked to start Big 12 play. I think that they deserve to be in that position. I think they will be with a chance to be ranked by the time they go to Boulder and open up Big 12 play.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page in terms of where we think they're going to land. Again, I still believe they should be in the top 25.
You think they should be?
But I don't expect them to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't. The writing's on the wall in terms of how people are talking about BYU nationally, whether they pay attention or not. They are dropping them, and you've got all these buys and sells, you know, all that stuff. So I do not expect the AP poll to be generous to BYU. So I'm like you. I expect them to be a team receiving votes. I will be shocked if when you count up all the votes, they're lower than 35.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I expect anywhere but, you know, 28, 35. It's very similar to what you're saying.
Brett McMurphy, friend of the program, who's been with us several times, he does not have BYU anywhere on his ballot.
Right.
So
he's high on another team.
Joel Klatt, another notable college football personality, has put out his media poll, BYU nowhere to be found. So I know that that has riled up some BYU folks, but it's okay. Ultimately, it's okay.
Hey, how long were we talking about the fact this team won? Everybody knows they're good. What in the world are they going to use as motivation next year? Everybody's going to be patting them on the back.
Now you have it.
Now you have it.
Now they
You're
are right
welcome.
Back where they want to
You're
be.
Welcome, everybody.
In fact, there are many BYU fans that showed up in my mentions on social media yesterday that were like, ugh. I mean, it's great to be ranked, but I'd rather not be ranked. I'd rather catch everybody by surprise. So the fact that BYU was 23 in the coaches poll, many of you didn't like that because we thrive in the undervalued category. Like, oh, under promise, over deliver. That is the mantra, right? BYU's gonna be mediocre, man, blah, blah, blah. And then you come out and you punch people in the mouth and win some games, and all of a sudden you're ranked, and now you get to play that card all season long. See, nobody believed in us, and now we're proving people wrong. I still think for the most part, BYU, even with the number 23 coaches poll ranking, when they don't show up in the AP poll, I don't think they will. They'll have exactly what you're talking about, the added motivation to go out and prove people wrong again.
Do you think there's a chance that BYU, if to the scenario that you played out, that you start out well and the quarterback play is maybe better than people think, and you start to see that what you had expected under Jake Retzlaff at quarterback is still happening with this BYU team on both sides. Do you believe that BYU could climb the polls faster than someone else? Because people are like, okay, well, I kind of thought before all this went down they were going to be here, and maybe I didn't give them enough credit. I'm going to bump them up maybe a few spots higher than I would have before, because maybe I was wrong to start with.
No doubt about it. Because BYU still will be on the radar to a degree.
Right.
I think media voters in large are holding. It's like, I'm just going to see
in a holding
what they
pattern,
do
yeah.
the first couple of weeks. Yeah, they'll receive some votes. Some people will put them at 24 or 25 in their poll. There are a lot of media voters. I mean, hundreds, okay? So they'll put them down low, but I think most people are in a holding pattern. If they come out and look good in the first two games, yeah, why would we not think that they will still capitalize on the momentum that was built late last season?
Right. Well, let's try and
then get, take some yes. big jumps.
And let's try and get them to where we thought we were going to have them before, maybe a little bit faster than say, just, you know, a spot here, a spot there moving forward.
Frankly, if BYU was nowhere to be found, even in the receiving votes category, all the better. Phil Steele came out and ranked BYU in the 50s.
I'm telling you right now, if they're not a team receiving votes, I am going to be so angry.
Where do you think BYU football will land in the preseason AP poll? We anticipate that will be released on Monday, August 11th. So 6 days from now, we believe that AP poll will be out 12 days before the week zero games happen on August 23rd. At Casey Garner Answers on X. I think we will see BYU receive votes but stay outside the top 25. I'm with Casey. I think right around 8 to 10 spots out. He continues, I think there is more respect for this BYU team in the media than we realize, but the quarterback loss hurts their reputation enough to take them out of the rankings.
That's clearly the line of thinking from everybody voting on this. That's what
the consensus.
It's what this boils down to.
Okay. At Sam Jacobs, also Answers on X, 24, 25. Media voters seem to not be quite as high on BYU, but usually the AP poll is somewhat close to the coaches poll. So I'm optimistic we'll start ranked. See, I think there's going to be a massive disparity.
Okay, what would surprise you more, that they're ranked or that they don't receive votes?
That they would be ranked.
Really?
That would surprise me more.
Right, just because you don't have faith in the people that are voting.
I just don't. I don't. Based on so many conversations that I've had, that we've had with guests on the show, people are just like, I don't know what to make of BYU. They're in a holding pattern.
Yeah.
And if they're in a holding pattern, they probably aren't going to get a vote.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if they show up ranked, then I will happily admit that I was wrong, okay? But I love it. I kind of want them to be again on the outside looking in.
Look, it worked last year, a little chip on the shoulder, and we saw what happened.
Think about some of the greatest seasons in BYU football history, Jason. Just some of the greatest.
They were overlooked.
84, BYU started unranked.
Yep.
96, BYU started unranked. Last year, BYU started way off the radar unranked. This is the common theme there. So let's do it. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
Join Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, and David Nixon tonight as they break down the Cougars' schedule on After Further Review. You can watch it on the BYU TV app at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Can't wait to start 3-0 and be in the top 25, Jason. When we return, BYU Athletic Director Brian Santiago back in studio to discuss the state of BYU athletics, where the demand and passion has never been higher. This is BYU Sports Nation. Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepherd. There was a lot of yelling in that opening segment.
It's not yelling. It was exuberant discussion.
So, listen, we're gonna bring it back down to earth, okay? And do so still with passion because we have the BYU Athletic Director Brian Santiago back in Studio B. We've moved over to the Cougar Council Room. Brian, great to have you on the show again. How are you this morning?
Doing fantastic. Great to be with you, Spencer and Jason. It's exciting times right now.
Indeed it is. All right, let's just go right to the idea that the demand and passion for BYU athletics have never been higher. Everybody wants a piece of the Cougars. They want to get into games. They want to watch BYU however they can. How are you assessing this new age and this new era of BYU athletics where it hasn't ever been like this before?
Well, it's really unprecedented. The demand right now to be part of BYU, the demand in Cougar Nation for tickets is unprecedented. There's never been a time quite like this. We've talked about the momentum that's been created by Kalani, by KY, by these programs, the success of the programs. It's really phenomenal to know that we have a fan base that is so passionate about our teams and about this university. It's with football just around the corner. We've sold more football tickets. We sold out almost immediately of all of our season tickets in football. Everybody knows that in basketball, we sold out the arena very quickly. Yesterday, the Rock Passes, I believe, sold out in 60 minutes. There were 20,000 of our students in the queue, and we sold out 14,000. The demand is unprecedented, and we're so grateful for that. When you talk about these times in college sports, to know that we have this kind of interest right now is just unbelievable. Mm.
You know, we hear from people who come from other places to BYU, and they talk about what a great fan experience it is to be here, and they've enjoyed themselves. What are some of the experiences that fans can expect this year with football, basketball, and all the sports on campus?
Yeah, Jason, it's pretty exciting. Our fan experience team, our marketing team, I would say is the best in the country. What they've created for both Cougar Nation, but the fans that are coming from outside that come to our venues, that leave feeling like this is one of the great experiences we've ever had in college sports. It's just a tribute to our team, but it's really a tribute to our fan base. They want to be there. Our student section is the best in the country. The Rock is just passionate beyond passion. But, you know, what we're trying to do is create an opportunity for all of our fans to have access. We understand, like, we've heard the frustrations, but the reality of it is we've followed the same exact processes in our season ticket sales that we've always gone and done. And we're trying to make sure that it's aligned in every sport so that when our fans come to buy their season tickets, they know exactly what the process is going to be. The difference is it's even surprised us, the demand. We knew there was heightened demand. We didn't know that it would rise to these unprecedented levels. And so there are some of our fans and some of our loyal people that have not had opportunity to buy tickets. But we're creating some opportunities where our fans are going to have access to watch our teams. We're playing 3 basketball games at the Delta Center this year. You know, 2 of them, North Carolina and Wisconsin up there, we're going to have fans have an opportunity there. With all of our access through ESPN and all of the places we're going to play, our fans are going to have an opportunity to watch, and we're doing everything we can to assess our processes to make sure that all of Cougar Nation is having access to tickets.
It's great insight into some of those other options for fans who weren't able to get their hands on season tickets or a Rock Pass. Do you have any other insight into maybe some other games? I don't know, maybe Christmas break when students are out or things like that. Like, what can you tell us about other ways that fans can still get involved?
Yeah, there will be opportunities this year in both football and basketball for single ticket sales, especially during some of these times when the students are on break. There are going to be seats available. We're going to do everything we can to give our fans an opportunity that didn't get to buy season tickets to have access to our venues to watch our teams. And that's awesome for basketball. Certainly there are a lot more games that people are going to have access to, and we're going to do everything we can to give people an opportunity. But, you know, we have a lot of our Cougar faithful that travel on the road with our football team. to make sure that they have access to some of these other venues to watch our team. They're going to have access to single game tickets here. And then basketball, it's one of the reasons why we are taking this team to some of the venues that we've never taken them to before. We're playing in Madison Square Garden. We're playing in TD Garden in Boston, which is, you know, AJ's home. We're playing in Orlando over the Thanksgiving break. We're starting the season in Las Vegas. We're playing at the Delta Center.
Yeah.
Our football program has 6 amazing home games, and we've got amazing road games where I've already heard from a number of fans, we're going to go on the road. We want to see our teams play. And, you know, for us, we just want to make we need every member of Cougar Nation to feel like they're in, all the way in. We're all the way in. We need everyone to be all the way in. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that every member of Cougar Nation has a chance to watch our teams.
You know, following up on that, obviously as a diehard BYU guy through and through, you love to showcase BYU at any level. Yeah. With some of the things that you were talking about and the opportunities to play different places in these high-profile games where there are going to be a lot of eyeballs on BYU, what's it like for you as the athletic director to be able to showcase BYU and this athletic department at those levels?
It's critical, and I always say we, as a department, as a university, have created something really special. And when I say we, you can't stop short of calling out the amazing coaches and programs. The success of our football and basketball programs, but specifically our football program last year, everybody knows football drives the ship. It's everything for an athletic department. But it kind of spreads the momentum across all the sports. And so to see the success nationally, to see the interest in our programs, we literally have. I got a message this morning from Uruguay. I happen to have a brother that's down there as a mission leader, who said he walked into a gym and there were 2 or 3 guys in there, and they saw his BYU shirt and they were like, "What's happening at BYU is unbelievable." And they just started peppering him with questions like, "What is going on in Provo, Utah?" This is halfway across the world, but I think that there's such interest worldwide right now in BYU, and I like to believe that a lot of it has to do with our unique mission. And there are people saying, "Wow, the success, the fact that they're excellent across the board in their sports, but they do it in a very unique way, and they're not compromising their mission." That's what I think is carrying the day right now. And I think that there are a lot of people really curious about what really is going on in Provo. And what I'm telling you is that something special is going on in Provo, Utah. The caliber of these student athletes, the people that they are across all sports, we're starting to see them. Soccer's had their little blue-white. Volleyball was coming out of their practice last night. The basketball team, I just walked through the gym, just finishing up practice. The women are getting ready to go. The football team, I was out on the field the other Saturday watching them play. The intensity, the excitement that's happening, it's palpable. We're, as I've said, Cougar Nation is alive. Our teams are alive. They're ready to go. And we're going to go chase greatness, and we're going to do it the right way. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome feeling.
So your good friend Tom Holmo had a fantastic send-off.
Yeah, he did.
Just want to make sure. You've got tickets for Tom, right? Like Tom, yeah. Tom. He was joking about that. He's like, "I hope I can get into an event."
Yeah, we have Tom well taken care of. He leaves a legacy that that merits him being in the venue.
I say that tongue-in-cheek because he's so humble and so grateful. But as you transition from him and take on this new challenge, as we enter season 3 of Power 4 competition, what do you feel like is the biggest challenge that awaits you and all of Cougar Nation moving into the unknown?
Yeah, I think, Spencer, it's a great question. I think you have to look at it from the standpoint of, you just talked about it on your previous segment, there haven't been expectations. Coming into the P4, our teams have come in off of the radar, chosen at the bottom of the conference to start seasons, and then just had remarkable seasons. I think the challenge is going to be is how we meet the expectations, because I think across the board with our coaches, the student athletes, when you have expectations of excellence, meaning now everyone expects us to be great, although with a little change in our football program, you guys were just discussing it with energy. I like the energy. But I think that there's now a change in the expectations across the board. I was reading on ESPN the other day that they have us in that top 30 programs to watch on the CFP list, right? That wasn't the case last year, and we were one or two plays away from being a CFP team. Our expectations of being one of the teams in the country that actually has odds to win the national championship in basketball. I think our ability to handle the pressures of expectations, continue to play great on the field, on the court, wherever the venue is going to be one of the biggest challenges to maintain the excellence, right? Everybody talks about it. It's tough to get to the top of the mountain. It's even tougher to stay there across sport everywhere you go. And so if we can stay humble, if we can stay true to who we are, if we can continue to be excellent in competition, but be excellent off of the floor as well, off of the field, I think that's where we're going to continue to just make strides, continue to chase greatness, continue to embrace what's coming. Mm. Because everybody can feel it. There's a reason the demand is so high. People want to be a part of it because we've created an expectation of excellence, but we've created it together. But what we're going to create coming to us is even better. So I think miraculous things are going to happen.
Fantastic stuff. We appreciate the insight into the ticketing scenario and the Rock passes. And as you mentioned, naturally there are going to be some frustrated folks, but the demand and the passion and the support of BYU Athletics have never been higher. So as we close out this interview, you know, what would you say to those that were on the outside looking in and them wanting to be involved as we push into the future?
We hear you. And we're sitting in rooms and looking at all of it, wanting to make sure that we make BYU Athletics having total access. We want all of Cougar Nation to have total access to BYU sports. And so we're sitting back looking at all of our processes, making sure they're consistent, making sure that we're doing it the right way, making sure that we are giving everyone an opportunity. And there are some things that we can adjust, and we will adjust moving forward. We hear you. We've met with many of you. We've talked to many of you that have called and have been frustrated with some of the processes, and we just want you to know that we're in, and we want to do things the right way. The reality of it is, as we've sat back and looked at it, is in years past, the number of our legacy and Cougar Club members that have maybe purchased football tickets and bypassed basketball tickets, there were a fair number of them, and it allowed more people to get tickets. With the unprecedented demand this year, the number of our legacy and Cougar Club members that purchased tickets was higher than it's ever been. The percentage of people that went in and purchased tickets to both sports, higher than it's ever been. And it did catch us off guard a little bit, but we're going to make adjustments. We're going to do everything we can to make BYU sports accessible to everyone in Cougar Nation, because we need everyone. That's the magic of what's happening right now across the world. I'm literally hearing from Cougar Nation across the world how much they care. It's a two-way street. We care equally, and we want to make this great for everyone. So we're going to do everything in our power to give access to every Cougar fan.
We appreciate that you wanted to show up and talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for making this time again in your busy schedule to do this.
Best time in the history of BYU and BYU athletics is right now. Let's go.
Let's go. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah.
All right, the athletic director, Brian Santiago, once again on BYU Sports Nation. After the break, BYU basketball picks up another big-time commit. Speaking of momentum and passion, and which athlete was nominated for NCAA Woman of the Year? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on all of these social media accounts, X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Do you follow us on TikTok yet, Jason?
If I had an account, I would follow. Does that count?
I need more Shep TikTok, and it needs to be 80s themed, bro.
Look,
start a TikTok about 80s movies.
Most of the TikToks are all about choreographed dancing. I just don't do that. I'm sorry.
On that note, let's get to today's headlines.
BYU football fall camp week 2 rolls on. Team practicing as we speak. We'll hold media interviews afterwards. Stay tuned to BYU TV and BYU Sports Nation's social media pages for the latest news and interviews from fall camp. More football news. This morning, CBS Sports released their preseason rankings and had BYU at number 36. A quote from the article on BYU said, quote, the exit of Jake Retzloff does bring up some questions about replicating the production of quarterback, but the foundation of Kalani Sitake's program is too strong to push the Cougars too far down the ballot, end quote. I could not agree more.
Grounded reporting right there. I love it. Pro Football Focus has released their preseason All-Big 12 team. Our guy Chase Roberts and Will Farron and Isaiah Glasker all named to the team. BYU, along with Arizona State, Baylor, Iowa State, and Utah, led the league with three student-athletes receiving that preseason recognition from PFF.
This just a little bit ago, L.J. Martin named to the preseason candidate for the Doak Walker Award.
How about that?
And BYU long snapper Garrison Grimes has been named to the Patrick Manley Award watch list, which is given annually to the top long snapper in college football.
Yesterday, BYU basketball picked up yet another big-time commitment from a four-star forward for the class of 2026. We can't mention his name specifically on this program until it is official through BYU, but we can still talk generally about him. This specific athlete listed in the top 100 players in his respective class and is the first commit for Kevin Young's 2026 recruiting rundown.
And how about this? BYU track athlete Megan Hunter has been named a Big 12 nominee for the NCAA Woman of the Year Award. The NCAA Woman of the Year program honors academic achievements, athletic excellence, community service, as well as leadership.
After the break, it's time to turn the page to BYU women's soccer because we're almost to the season. And their star, Ellie Walbrook, discusses overcoming a major injury and being fully ready for a breakout season. This is BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Jason's been hard at work. In fact, yesterday he spoke with BYU women's soccer captain Ellie Walbrook to get her insight on what is possible for this team in the upcoming season. Take it away, Jason.
All right, Ellie, what did it feel like to be back on the pitch in the blue-white game? You had the fans in the stands. I know it was against your teammates, but it probably had to feel pretty good to be back out there.
Oh, yeah, it felt so good to be back, putting on that BYU uniform and just playing with my teammates. Obviously, I've been through a lot this last year, just recovering from my ACL injury. So to step back on the field, feeling fresh, confident, and obviously getting two goals was so surreal, and just grateful for everyone who's been a part of my recovery. I mean, I couldn't have done it without anyone. So it was just amazing to step back and just really excited for the season to start.
Well, and I know the hard work that you've put in to get back to this point. How healthy are you feeling right now? Because you certainly didn't show any signs of being hurt at all in the blue-white game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I feel really good. It's been a long 15 months. I mean, I waited the whole year to return to play, which I think was super beneficial for me. Just feeling really confident, getting stronger in every aspect, mentally, physically, emotionally, just really focusing on myself this last year has been huge, but also kind of having this leadership role off the field. I've grown a lot, and just stepping back, I feel 100% mentally, and obviously physically, my knee feels great and just really excited.
You know, I've talked to a lot of athletes after injuries, and a lot of them have talked about the fact that they knew they were really back when they weren't thinking about whatever the injury was that they had while they were playing. Are you at that point where you're not even thinking about it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think for me, I haven't really thought about it since my 6 month. I mean, I've had a really easy, smooth recovery, and that goes to all my support staff, like making my knee strong, having that confidence in me. I really haven't thought about it at all.
Do you get tired of talking about it at this point? Because look, and it's probably only when media schlubs like me ask you about it. Do you get tired of talking about it?
No, because I mean, it is a unique story. I mean, you never think an ACL injury is going to happen to you until it does. And for me, like, I've never had a major injury. I've never had a minor injury. So having the ACL, I mean, it has helped me a lot as a player, but also as a person, I've grown a lot. And just like I've said, I mean, I think it's all part of my plan. Like, God has a plan for me, and this was part of it. So I've just grown so much and really thankful for. I look back at it and I used to think it was a trial, but now I kind of look at more as it was a blessing for me. So I've just grown a lot, and really it showed a lot on the field, which I was happy about.
You mentioned a minute ago about the leadership role that you have with this team and in this program. Mm-hmm. How much does that role mean to you in your ability to be able to work with your teammates like that?
Yeah, I mean, it means so much. Obviously, being a captain, you're kind of like looked at as the leader of the team. But I think for us, we have a bunch of leaders in different ways. But being a captain, I mean, obviously, having that leadership off the field is really important. Just being a friend more than an actual leader, having relationships with your teammates is super important for us. And obviously having people respect me and my story and kind of my experience on this team has been huge for that leadership aspect. So I know I've learned a lot from last year being off the field, which will really help me on the field this year as a leader on the field with the ball at my feet.
Ellie Wahlberg joining us here on BYU Sports Nation. You've had a pretty productive offseason, not only coming back from the injury, but you also won the USL W League title and then took home MVP honors. First off, for those that may not necessarily know a whole lot about the league, tell people about the league, but also what it meant to you to win the championship and the MVP.
Yeah, so the USLW, it's kind of the new thing. It's basically like a semi-professional team. Obviously, college girls are playing in it, so they're not making any money. But it's during the summer where you just want to stay in shape, stay in that game shape. So Utah United, it was our first year having a USLW team in the state of Utah. So basically, it was like a super team of girls from Utah, girls from Utah State, girls from UVU, BYU, just a bunch of girls that have grown up in Utah or are playing college in Utah that kind of formed this team to compete against other USL teams from Colorado, from just kind of the West Coast area. That's our division. But obviously, we had a great year. We scored a lot of goals. I mean, one game we scored the score was 18-0 for a game. And then we made it to the semis. We played in Minnesota on the Vikings training facility, which was a really cool experience. And they had probably 6,000 fans. So it's a very professional environment. Ended up winning that game 1-0. I had the goal, which was crazy to play in. I mean, I'm a Vikings fan, so to play on their training facility was really cool. And then obviously us being a number one seed, we were able to host in Utah and we were able to host on South Field. And just, it was such a cool opportunity, cool environment. I mean, obviously we had a lot of players from Utah and from BYU that we had a lot of fans there, and ended up beating North Carolina Courage, who won it last year 4-0. So we kind of made a statement that, yeah, Utah girls have some talent. And it was just so fun to play with girls that you've kind of grown up playing against, and to all come onto this team during the summer to stay fit and stay ready for fall season was really fun. And obviously getting that MVP was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. I mean, that was probably my first game back that I felt really like my old self. So it being credited and getting MVP honors was unreal too. But yeah, it was just a great summer, and it was so much fun to play with girls that you kind of grow up being competitive against.
Did you get to do anything besides all the soccer, obviously, that you participated in? Did you get to do anything else? Did you get to relax, take a little vacation?
I mean, we went to New Zealand. That was what I called my vacation. The month of May, you kind of take it slower. But once it hits at June 1st, you're working camps and you're getting back to the grind and getting back fit. So, I mean, that I'm grateful for it. I mean, I'll take that over a vacation any day, because these are the days you live for.
You know, that trip to New Zealand, and obviously I was only watching it via pictures and social media. What an opportunity you guys had. That's probably something you'll never forget, right?
Oh, never forget. I mean, the memories we've made, and obviously we didn't play any soccer there, so it was just forming connections, growing as a team, growing as a culture, and just learning about their culture over in New Zealand was an unreal experience. I mean, I could go on and on about it. It was amazing, and some of the memories that will last forever. I'm super grateful for it.
Well, let's talk about this year's team. There are a lot of new faces, but you do have quite a few returners as well. So give everybody an idea of this year's team.
Yeah. Like you said, we have a lot of returners, a lot of girls that got experience last year. This will be their sophomore year, so have that experience under their belt. Getting Izzy and Bocce back from their missions, I mean, they were a huge role for us in that College Cup year. We have a lot of new freshmen. I mean, we have 8 new girls that came in January, and they have really bought into what BYU soccer is all about this preseason, this offseason. And just, yeah, we're excited. We're hungrier than ever. I think we have big goals that we will achieve this year, and just really excited about it for it all to come into place. We're a good group, and it's just going to be a really, really good year for us.
You know, playing off that a little bit, you know what it's like to win a national championship, having done that as a freshman with UCLA. So you know what it takes. What's it going to take for this team to reach its potential, do you think, and make that deep run?
Yeah, I think it all starts with our team environment, our team culture. And right now, I feel like that's what is so strong, that it's never been stronger. We've really bought into this, building this team culture off the field, and it has really shown on the field in the last few days of double days and obviously preseason. But we just really have bought into that, and it shows really well on the field that we want to compete, we want to win. And I think first and foremost, we have to have the focus of a Big 12 championship in the back of our head. That's our first goal. And then if we can accomplish that, anything can happen.
You know, I think it's always interesting, regardless of the sport, at the beginning of every year, you think you know a little bit about the team, and you think you kind of know who some of the players will be and how things may play out, but there's always surprises. There's always players that maybe step up or come out of nowhere. Who are a couple of players that maybe people don't know a whole lot about right now, but you've seen that they could really, you know, pay some dividends this year?
Yeah, we have a lot of good, talented girls, especially our freshmen. I mean, a huge shout out to Sophie Sivilich. She is a great freshman, feisty, fast, and will score a lot of goals for us this season. I think another one to watch out for is Mia Lopez, also a new freshman. She's a freaking baller, number 10. And obviously, I think to watch out for is our keepers, Sarah Mathis or Peyton Collins. I mean, they are really performing super well right now, and just really excited to see them kind of step into this new position that they haven't really had an opportunity to get to, but they have shown it a lot, and just really excited, like I said, to see it all fold out and kind of come together. But yeah, we have a talented group, and I think a lot of people are going to be shocked by how good we are this year.
All right, last thing for you before I let you go. Now with the blue and white game behind you, you host Southern Utah on Wednesday night in the exhibition opener. What do you want to see? What do you want to accomplish as a team now that you're going to face somebody else in this exhibition matchup?
Yeah, I think just coming together. We had a really good blue and white game, competitive, but it's always fun to play another team that doesn't kind of know how you play. So just to see the girls hopefully getting a lot of goals, hopefully keeping that shutout and just kind of building off the blue and white. I think we had a good possession-based style game, just hoping to score some more goals and get into the attack and keep the zero on the board. So we're pumped for it and just can't wait for that kickoff on Wednesday night.
Well, Ellie, it's always good to talk with you. I appreciate you taking a few minutes. First and foremost, it's great that you're healthy, that you're able to go out and do what you love and that you're fantastic at. Can't wait to see how this season plays out for you and the rest of the team. Thanks for taking a few minutes. And we'll give you the BYU Sports Nation karma as well. But thanks for taking a few minutes and talking with me.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate you guys.
Great stuff from Ellie Walbrook. After the break, more responses from you on where you think BYU will land in the preseason AP poll. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Where do you think BYU football will land in the preseason AP Top 25? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from @Marshall_BYUNX, who says, unranked. I hope they can crack the bottom of the AP poll so it's not as big of an uphill climb. But with the quarterback situation, I doubt they, the media, ranked BYU. They don't know, but they're about to find out. Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Look, Kalani's talked a lot about the 84 team coming in to his elementary school and visiting him.
Yes.
And there's a picture of him in elementary school with the 84 team coming by.
I love it.
Love it.
Check it out, BYU's Instagram account, BYU Football's Instagram account. Our thanks to today's guests, Brian Santiago and Ellie Walbrook. Conversation continues 24/7 on social media. For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Kevin Santiago. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs.